meeting for a long, long time. And I used to attend a lot of AA meetings. And what always fascinated me, at most AA meetings, everyone would get in a circle, hold hands, and would end with the Lord's Prayer. And it would always befuddle me because more people than not had no concept of God, had no belief in Jesus Christ, had no desire to have any belief in Jesus Christ. And whatever, something out here flies around, lands here, and becomes belief. And I would ask different people, well, do you know the Lord? And they would say, no, I don't believe in that Jesus stuff, this and that. And it just would baffle my mind. And so what I really want to talk about today, and we all know this, what we know about God, I firmly believe that Scripture teaches us we know through Jesus Christ. And we know about Jesus Christ, we know through the Word. The Greek word for God is theos, and theos could be used either singularly or plurally. Theos usually designates some phenomenal being or whatever. Though it can designate God, it could also designate a very unusual person, a hero, an athletic idol, or whatever. Theos is that loose of a term. And in the Old Testament, theos is used many, many times. But at the same time, the Israelites, through Moses, through the Spirit of God, speaking to Moses, elevated that name from theos to Elohim, Kyrios, Yahweh, all indicating God Almighty, Lord, and all the names that we're familiar with, which elevates and actually unifies God into a monotheistic God, one God. It's kind of like in one of my favorite movies, The Ten Commandments, when Yul Brynner, even though it's not 100% scriptural, when Yul Brynner says to Moses, Moses is God, or to his wife, Moses is God, is God. And so my launching point today, and I'm actually fortunate too, Patty played some of my favorite tunes, which I didn't know she would. Danny went through the book of John, and Jeff spoke through Revelation by John, and the songs were actually out of the book of John, and that's my launching pad, the book of John. So I'm going to start in the Gospel of John. And we all know this. And when we really pay attention to it and really let the Spirit of the Lord speak to our minds and to our hearts, it's an amazing mystery, and at the same time, and it's an amazing miracle. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. We know the word logos and all that. We've been taught that umpteen times or whatever. But we know that this is speaking about the pre-existing Christ, before Christ came on earth. The Word itself is pre-existing with Christ before Christ comes into being. A verse that always fascinated me in Genesis, the whole first chapter of Genesis, when he's speaking about the creation and all that, isn't it fascinating that when we get down on, I think, chapter 3 or whatever, the Lord says, let us make man in our image. And we know that's the first indication of a Trinity or whatever. But I ask myself, who's really doing the speaking? And a good part of me says, Jesus is the one to speak. because we find out through all the Christophanies, through all the Christologies, through all the examples, on and on and on and on and on, when we get to the New Testament, we truly find out that the whole Testament speaks about Jesus. So much of the experiences in the Old Testament, the Exodus experience, the experiences with Samuel, the experiences with David, the experiences with Daniel in the lion's den and in the furnace, on and on and on, they culminate in Jesus. The attributes of God that we read so much about, that we pray about, that so many books are written about, the character of God. Talk about pink. Jeff said he liked pink. I heard him say that a number of years ago, who wrote a famous book, The Attributes of God. You speak about that, and guess what? It all culminates in Jesus. I firmly believe that without the New Testament, we would know very little about God. The New Testament actually tells us that. He was in the beginning with God. Verse 3. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And there's another. I'm going to go to Colossians 1, 16 through 17. I hope I have some time here, because there's a lot. Colossians 1, verse 16 through 17. I like the way this says it also. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. Which Paul says basically the same thing. I just enjoy the way Paul says it. So when we read Genesis, if we haven't read the New Testament, we don't think in terms of Jesus doing all this creating. And when you read Genesis, and you now have in light revealed through the New Testament, you're seeing Jesus, and Jesus, and Jesus. Jesus created. Jesus said, let there be light. Jesus said this, and Jesus said that. And so the Word itself being pre-existent with Christ, God spoke the worlds into being. The writers of Scripture, inspired by the Holy Spirit, penned what is now considered the canon of Scripture. I think there's a verse in Amos that says, God does nothing secret unless it's revealed to his servants, the prophets. We notice so many times in all the prophets, the Lord either came to and spoke, or the Lord, basically to paraphrase, I don't want to go to them all, spoke to Isaiah. The Lord spoke to Ezekiel. The Lord spoke to Daniel. The Word is pre-existent. The Word is continual. The Word is God, which we already know, culminating in the person of Jesus Christ. But also the Word is the will of God, and the will of God is the Word. You cannot separate the two. And you cannot separate that from Jesus Christ. Bob speaks about that all the time. And so I think that's something for us to always cherish and to never really take for granted. The older I'm getting, the more convicted I'm becoming. The more I read the Word, the less I take the Word for granted. And it's just becoming more and more. I really believe what Jeff said. I really believe what Bob speaks a lot about. There's going to be polarities, and there's going to be a narrowing down of the church. There are a lot of tough scriptures. And I don't think we can just take some of these scriptures and just fluff them off, you know? And then he goes down. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man who comes into the world. He was in the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And here it is, and we just sang about it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, I don't have enough of time to expound on all the things that I'd really like to expound upon. And I know, and please don't misconstrue what I'm saying here. Please pay close attention. But we know for a fact that Jesus Christ came to seek and to save the lost. Obviously, we know that. We're all Bible literate here. We know that Jesus' sole mission was to be 100% obedient to the Father. And then his mission was, as Jeff said, to purchase our sins, to redeem us, to regenerate us by the power of the Holy Spirit at that cross, at Calvary. But sometimes if we're not careful, we'll start thinking that everything else is just sprinkles on the ice cream. All the parables and all the stories and all this and all that. And I contend no. Jesus came to earth specifically to die on that cross, specifically to redeem our sins, and so that we can have fellowship, relationship. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. But he also came to show us all the attributes, the characteristics of God in flesh, the God-man. So everything that Jesus did, all the experiences that Jesus had with his disciples, all the parables and the teachings, all the admonitions, all the emotions that Jesus expresses through the gospel. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I've wept over you. They all prove that he is the one that was sent by God and the only one that is validated to die on that cross. And so when I read the scriptures, when I study the scriptures, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we need never forget that. Because the gospel came in power. And sometimes, many times, we deny that. And just as a caveat, let me say, a lot of times we'll think in terms of, oh, the power to heal. Oh, the power to be delivered. The power of this. Oh, God gave me a power to be a great evangelist. God gave me the power to do this. God gave me the power to do that. He obviously gave us the power to keep our sins in check, too. We got to be careful that we don't forget the most important thing. And so, I honestly believe that as far as Scripture is concerned, we truly know nothing, very little about God, if it weren't through the power of the Holy Spirit revealing that to us through Scripture, through Jesus Christ. So, yes, he came to seek and to save the lost. He came to die and redeem us on that cross. He also came to show us what God is like. And how we too can have that relationship, have that fellowship, and have those characteristics, principles lived out in our life via the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Let's see. Oh, I'm going to go to this. This is interesting. You talk about Christologies and Christophanies. I'm going to go to Exodus 24. Karen and I were at Bible study couple weeks ago. And I was explaining, or isn't this a fascinating scripture? Exodus 24. So many times, I mean, if we read the Old Testament, many times, I mean, outside of the New Testament, you're not going to think about Jesus. You're going to think about the promise of a Messiah. You're going to think about a great deliverer coming. You're going to hear all the prophecies about Israel being delivered. You're going to hear about the end of days. You're going to hear about all these things. But you're not necessarily going to think in terms of Jesus until we actually get to the New Testament. In Isaiah, you read all about the prophecies of Jesus coming. It'll be, you know, the government will be on his shoulders, a mighty counselor, so on and so forth. But we need to read the New Testament to understand it's all about Jesus. Exodus 24. This is really fascinating. Verse 9 through 11. I don't want to keep people here. I think you got the main point. Water, so I wish I had an hour and a half to talk. There's so much I want to talk about. Exodus 24, 9 through 11. This is something. Talk about a Christophany. Then Moses went up also, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, like the very heavens in its clarity. But on the nobles of the children of Israel, he did not lay his hand. So they saw God, and they ate and drank. That scripture just totally blows me away. We're talking about Jesus here. Notice he's talking about the feet. And it's an obvious Christophany. But what fascinates me, what I can't wrap my mind around, is that you hear these scriptures, no one can see God and live. So I don't know where all that's going. I'm just pointing out the Christophany. I mean, I could pour out commentaries, so on and so forth. And there's no need for that to make the point I'm trying to make. The Christophanies are really interesting Christophany. I'm going to go to Hebrews chapter 1. I'll just go till 12 and then I'll shut up, because there's so much I could talk about. God, who at various times and in different ways spoke in time past to the Father by the prophets. There you go again. There's the word of God. Has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. There you go again. Spoke the word, whom he has appointed heir of all things, or whom also he made the worlds. There we go again about God making everything in Christ, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. There you have it again. Jesus is the express image of God. Jesus defines who God is. Jesus is the Webster of trying to express and explain who God is. Upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. I'm going to go to the book of Colossians. All scriptures that we're familiar with. Chapter 2, which we know the scripture very well. Verses 1 through 3. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Again, it is evident through the scripture that all knowledge, all wisdom, culminates in the person of Jesus Christ. going to go to chapter 2. These are some of my favorite scriptures. Verse 8 through 9. Beware lest anyone cheat you through, and Bob just did this a week or two ago. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Again, there it is. Something out here flies around. Some genius gets this phenomenal idea. It lands here, and it becomes belief. My son and I a lot of times have all these bells. What's Bob say? The bells, the bells. We have these conversations. Kara knows. He tries to get me into these philosophical conversations. And it's just, I'm exhausted at the end. Jeff, I don't know if you go through this. I'm exhausted at the end. But let me read my scripture. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Again, Jesus Christ is a full expression of who God is. We've heard this time and time again. It's 12 o'clock and I don't want to keep on going on. I wish I could. But anyway, Glenn, you got to talk to Bob. Tell him sometime. Give me more time. But this I want to say. The scriptures are very evident. And the Holy Spirit makes this evident to our spirit because his spirit bears witness of our spirit that we're children of God. But everything that Scripture speaks about, though there's allegories and metaphors in Scripture, it's not given this abstract description of who Jesus Christ is. It's not given this abstract premise of what we think God is. What Scripture is a historical attestation of who God is. And God is expressed and explained through Jesus Christ. And that's what really the Gospel of John is really all about. Because John sets out to prove that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is who he says he is, and though he came to die on the cross, he is the one that is validated by God to do this. He's the only one that can because he is God. Let's end in prayer. Lord, we just thank you that, like Philippians says, we don't know why, but you emptied yourself and you came down to this earth, Lord, and dwelt with us. Lord, you came to redeem us. You came to purchase us, like Jeff said, with your blood at the Calvary, Lord. At the same time, Lord, you showed us what God is like and all his attributes and characteristics. We ask you, Lord, to give us a heart to continue to want to follow you. We ask you, Lord, to continue to give us a heart to want to grow in grace. We ask you, Lord, that you give us a heart that just wants to be obedient. We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that each one of us have in our lives. We continue to hold up the church universally. We continue to hold up all the ministers out there, Lord. And Lord, we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you continue to convict us, Lord, and keep on convicting us, Lord, and give us the eyes and the wisdom, Lord, to pay attention to you. And we thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.